A couple of big decisions from the nation's high court dominate this week's podcast. For the week of June 26th, 2015, this is KUAR's Week in Review. For a second day in a row, we've had a major U.S. Supreme Court ruling with a major impact in Arkansas. This morning, the nation's high court ruled that states must recognize same-sex marriages, cannot ban them, as Arkansas has had a constitutional amendment passed in 2004 that defined marriage as being between one man and one woman.
Natalie, do you take Erica to be your lawfully wedded wife?
I do.
Erica, do you take Natalie to be your lawfully wedded wife?
I do.
Do you promise to love and comfort one another, to honor and keep one another?
That's the sound of one marriage that took place today at the Pulaski County Courthouse. Officials statewide were instructed to begin issuing marriage licenses again to same-sex couples. This follows last year when we had a one-week window after the ruling by Judge Chris Piazza that the amendment banning same-sex marriage was unconstitutional. The KUAR news team has been working on this throughout the day, getting reaction on this, and I'm joined in the studio by Sarah Weitz-Kotacek.
Hello.
Chris Hickey.
Hello.
And Jacob Kaufman.
Hello.
Sarah, first to you. You were at the Pulaski County Courthouse as these marriages were taking place and marriage licenses were being issued. Describe the scene for me.
Well, when I first walked into the courthouse, I saw Cheryl Maples sitting in the center of the room, and I went up and spoke with her about how excited she was about the ruling this morning. There were several couples there who had come in to get married, and I saw County Clerk Larry Crane, who's been issuing marriage licenses today. There wasn't a huge line, or line at all, rather, out the door, but both Crane and Maples speculated that given the permanence of marriage now, there's not the same sort of sense of worry that drove people to rush to the courthouse, that, you know, this is sort of like a calm process now that people can approach in the way that they want to in a measured way.
Yeah, I was there in May of last year when you had, on that Monday morning after the judge made his decision and he had a huge line outside the Pulaski County Courthouse before dawn with people ready to take advantage of this. But it seemed like couples taking a more methodical, maybe planning a real wedding approach here.
Yeah, there was one couple during the time that I was there, Erica Byers and Natalie Corson, and they're from Hot Springs. They were actually moving to Sherwood today, and they heard about the ruling. They just dropped everything and drove to Little Rock, and they've been together for a year, and they've been planning to get married, and they were, you know, crying and just so excited about today's ruling.
We've been together for a year, and it's just always been
The plan.
It's just always been the plan.
Why?
Because we knew from day one that that's just what our future held for us.
We were two of the same kinds of people.
You know, that's just, you know, we wanted a future together, and a future as a couple is, you know, for us is getting married and, you know, building a life together.
And Pulaski County Circuit Clerk Larry Crane had told his staff first thing this morning, right after this ruling came out, immediately began issuing licenses. What did he tell you?
Well, he said that county clerks by nature are cautious, and he thinks that they're going to be overall following the directions of the governor and issuing marriage licenses, and he himself took great pride in being able to be one of the first to marry in the state.
What we've done is we created a gender-neutral application and a gender-neutral license. And quite honestly, I made the decision this morning when it was real that we'd let people choose which one they want. If a couple wants to be Mr. and Mrs., then they can be Mr. and Mrs., and if they want to be spouse one and spouse two, irrespective of whether they're the same gender or different genders, they can have whatever they want.
You're glowing, so I get that you are.
I am glowing, and I've been glowing all day.
A number of people talked about feeling like they were a part of history, including Erica and Natalie, and also Cheryl Maples, who was the attorney for the plaintiffs in the state Supreme Court case, which hasn't been decided and has been delayed. And there was a special case just to decide which justices would sit on that. And there are some unresolved issues that are a part of that case, namely, from Maple's perspective, she'd like to see the court rule on whether a popular referendum can counter inalienable rights, which now, presumably, gay marriage has been determined by the U.S. Supreme Court to be an inalienable right.
It's whether or not a referendum can remove or limit the inalienable rights, like the right to bear arms, the right to possess property, freedom of religion, due process, and equal protection. Amendment 83 did do that. And those are inalienable rights and should not be able to ever be affected by popular vote. The Attorney General of the state of Arkansas took the position that Amendment 83 did in fact affect equal protection and due process, and that should never, ever be allowed in the future.
And so that case does need to be resolved. It can't just be dismissed because there are these outstanding questions.
They can just say, we don't need to reach that because the Supreme Court's ruled. I'm hoping that they will be kind enough to bring clarity to that issue, because it will certainly come up in the future if this is the way the Attorney General appears to feel.
Amendment 83 is the popular referendum that passed in 2004, where 75% of Arkansans voted for a constitutional ban against gay marriage, along with various other states at that time that were passing similar bans after, you know, Massachusetts legalized gay marriage as the first state in 2003.
So a lot of celebration from folks there at the county courthouse. But Jacob, politically, what was the reaction in Arkansas?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that the majority of state elected officials clearly do not agree with this ruling, despite maybe Larry Crane glowing about it. I don't think that a lot of Republicans in state government who do control the state government feel that way. Governor Asa Hutchinson did direct the state and all different county clerks to move forward with complying with the court's ruling. However, this is not an enthusiastic request to comply. He's not saying, let's go get gay married, or that's appropriate. He still makes plenty clear that personally he is opposed to this. However, he did remind his base, though, that individual liberties and how you worship and those sorts of choices, that won't be changed at all.
And this is from a recorded statement that the governor's office released.
Today, the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, requires the state of Arkansas to recognize same-sex marriage. This decision goes against the express view of Arkansans and my personal beliefs and convictions. While my personal convictions will not change, as governor, I recognize the responsibility of the state to follow the direction of the U.S. Supreme Court. As a result of this ruling, I will direct all state agencies to comply with the decision. It is also important to note that the Supreme Court decision is directed at state or government action. It is not a directive for churches or pastors to recognize same-sex marriage. The decision for churches, pastors, and individuals is a choice that should be left to the convictions of conscience.
Right, and that message from Governor Hutchinson, you got to wonder a little bit if he's thought at all about some of the lessons that people think came out of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act debate and how it makes states look that don't comply with these types of things. Other nearby states, Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi, have had very different reactions about whether or not they should comply with this. At this point, Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi have decided that they don't have to comply with the U.S. Supreme Court ruling. Some of those states are waiting for a more formal order that's supposed to come 25 days afterward. So we'll see where those states go. I imagine they will have to, in the end, follow the U.S. Supreme Court, but it is a different tact, at least from the Hutchinson administration. But as far as the rest of the congressional delegation, we haven't heard much in terms of how they feel about this yet. We obviously know going into this, they're opposed to same-sex marriage.
Well, Chris, you have been speaking with folks like Jerry Cox with the Family Council. His organization led the effort to help get this constitutional amendment passed in 2004. What was his mood? What did he have to say?
Well, obviously, he's very disappointed with the court in making this decision. And he noted that he believed, and his organization and his followers believed, that it's really a state issue.
Marriage has always been a matter of state concern. That's why people get an Arkansas marriage license, not a U.S. marriage license. And so this really flies in the face of how we have structured not only our definition of marriage in this country, but also how we govern marriage in this country. And it stands that really on its head. In fact, I would go so far as to say that today's ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court is illegitimate. It's an illegitimate ruling because, first of all, the U.S. Supreme Court did not create the definition of marriage. The definition of marriage that we have had in this country goes back thousands of years. It's part of our Judeo-Christian heritage.
And obviously, you can see there his obvious disappointment. There are others in the state who gave more of a moderate reaction, more along the lines of the governor, even though she expressed her disappointment with the law. Leslie Rutledge, Arkansas Attorney General, said, the justices have chosen to ignore the role of the states to define marriage, but the justices have issued a decision, and that decision must be followed. We are continuing to review this landmark decision to make sure the full implications are understood and that implementation is consistent with the rule of law. Obviously, she's expressing her disappointment kind of along the lines of Jerry Cox's view there. But again, a recognition that the ruling of the court must be followed.
And it sounds pretty much like state officials are saying, we may not agree with this, but it's something we have to go along with. There's a group representing county officials.
Yeah, well, we heard earlier from Pulaski County Clerk Larry Crane talking a little bit about the process of assigning a gender-neutral category to marriage licenses and updating software and so forth. I spoke earlier with Scott Perkins of the Association of Arkansas Counties. They're kind of a lobbying group that represents the interests of counties around the state. And they also advise counties and county clerks on what to do in response to this. He said that county clerks around the state had been preparing for several months and updating their software and so forth. But there are still some little wrinkles in the system, some technicalities to work out.
Well, immediately right now, obviously, what we've been talking about is the marriage licensure and the issuance of the license. After that, on the 10th of every month, marriage coupons from all the county clerks are due to the Office of Vital Statistics. And there will be a new marriage coupon form as well. Now, granted, clerks have until the 10th to turn those into on a monthly basis. So that's not an immediate concern that we're having today. But now Vital Statistics and the clerks have been working on what those new forms should look like. And they'll be ready to handle that deadline by the 10th with forms that will be gender neutral.
Now, it remains to be seen whether there will be any political pushback from county clerks around the state, whether any ones will, you know, simply point out that they disagree with the ruling and they don't want to follow the rule of law in this case. But we'll see.
Yeah, and I just wanted to comment a little bit on Jerry Cox's statement. I wonder if you guys have any comments about this, that it's marriage is always been a state-based institution. I mean, there are tons of state licenses that operate under different federal guidelines, and I think not too long ago we had an anniversary of one of the U.S. Supreme Court cases that made intermarriage between races legal, and that was started at the state level, of course, but that was a United States Supreme Court case that fundamentally redefined marriage in America. I mean, was there any pushback or any comments about that, about how there's been a lot of change to the structure of marriage in America's history?
Well, I think paraphrasing what Sarah was saying about Cheryl Maples, pointing out that the court was ruling on an inalienable right. And that's something, obviously, that the Supreme Court has the right to rule on. And establishing marriage within the context of inalienable rights would seem to supersede the role of the states in simply administering what is normally a civil process.
Well, finally, we also had a reaction today from State Senator Jason Rapert, one of the most conservative members of the Arkansas legislature, very religious, often quotes the scripture in his comments. Let's listen to his reaction to this news today.
What I foresee happening is that you will probably see very shortly the first constitutional convention called under Article 5 by the states that we've ever had in our nation's history. We are near, at this point, 34 states that are making that call. Arkansas failed to do anything over some jockeying that happened here in the legislature this past session. But I completely support the right of the states to assert their power, reassert their power under Article 5, and we will pass a constitutional amendment that says marriage is between one man and one woman. And then what? You see, the Constitution, if you will go read it today, there is actually commentary that says the Constitution does not give the Supreme Court the ability to rule an act of Congress or statute of a state unconstitutional. They took that power themselves in Marbury versus Madison. That was the Supreme Court saying that we are supreme. It was not in the Constitution. We have allowed the Supreme Court to endure and really partake of power that was not given to them in the Constitution. It's time to settle that matter again, and it's going to take the people of this nation rising up and through their congressional leaders making sure the balance of power is going to be correct. The Supreme Court, 5 unelected judges, should not be able to tell 96% of heterosexual Americans that marriage does not matter.
Well, perhaps unelected, but obviously appointed by presidents and have to go through a confirmation process. Jacob, does this seem very realistic? Try to defy an order by the U.S. Supreme Court?
Well, I'd have to say he went back to the early 1800s for his example of when the United States Supreme Court got this power. So he's fighting against a lot of precedent, I'd say. And then with this Article 5 convention, this is an idea that's been bandied around nationally for various other proposals, most specifically one to have a balanced budget amendment at the federal level. There's never been an Article 5 convention of the states ever in the history of the United States. So if it did happen, it would be truly remarkable, totally unprecedented to gain that power. And just one other thing, Jason Rapert's statement. The United States Supreme Court did not say that marriage does not matter. That's his interpretation of that. And I would think it's safe to say that although maybe 96% of the country is heterosexual, it's very doubtful they all have the same belief about same-sex marriage.
So do we think this opinion from the Supreme Court will be a factor going into the presidential campaign?
Yeah, I'd say it certainly is. Several presidential candidates have already weighed in on after the decision's been issued. And, you know, it's been an issue for years going into it. It's going to be afterward, even though the Supreme Court might have settled it legally. Senator Rapert just said there's clearly going to be political action, at least on the state level. And former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, I believe, Chris Hickey has a little bit of detail about what he chimed in with.
Yeah, he issued a statement today calling the ruling by the Supreme Court an act of judicial tyranny, which is kind of language he borrowed from a statement released the day before on a different Supreme Court decision. But he went on to say, this ruling is not about marriage equality, it's about marriage redefinition. This irrational, unconstitutional rejection of the expressed will of the people in over 30 states will prove to be one of the court's most disastrous decisions, and they have had many. So you can see he's using very fiery language to maybe ignite his base.
And I think conservatives will bring up the importance. It often is brought up in presidential campaigns, the important power that presidents have in appointing members of the court. But I'm sure this will be brought up even more so now with this decision. As well as on Thursday, we had a decision concerning the Affordable Care Act, and in particular, subsidies for states that did not set up their own state exchange. Those like Arkansas, which is one of a little under three dozen states that did not set up their own exchange, but instead work in a partnership with the federal government. Jacob, about 68,000 Arkansans are able to have coverage because of these subsidies. And Arkansas is in the process of setting up its own exchange. But you were out talking with a lot of lawmakers getting reaction to this decision on Thursday by the U.S. Supreme Court. Tell me about what lawmakers are thinking.
Yeah, and it's curious because a lot of states were thinking they might have to move to a state-based exchange really in a rushed fashion. If the Supreme Court determined to get those Affordable Care Act subsidies, they could only go through a state-based exchange instead of a federal one, something like healthcare.gov. But Arkansas, since 2013, had been planning to move to a state-based exchange anyway by 2017 for various reasons, like they think a state-based exchange will give local governments more control, more flexibility over this federal healthcare law. But as might be expected, Democrats and Democratic Minority Leader Senator Keith Ingram from West Memphis thought it was a great decision. He recalled back in 2011 when Arkansas was first considering whether or not to use healthcare.gov or their own state-based exchange, and he recalled that in 2011 the GOP tried to defeat that bill.
In the committee I was in, health committee, killed the state exchange at that time, which in so many ways was counterintuitive because, you know, I've always believed that the best government is the closest government to people. That's why I'm at the Municipal League. I'm a true believer in local government. And when the Republicans did not want to establish a state exchange and force us into a federal exchange, that was even counterintuitive for me of Republican positions, because I've always thought that they believed smaller government was better government that we could look after. But they killed it in the House, and I remember vividly that the ACA, the reason they killed it, the ACA was going to be found unconstitutional then by the Supreme Court, and now we've had two challenges that have withstood it. So my hope is that we can all move forward together.
Yeah, and he points out this is the second loss at the U.S. Supreme Court concerning the president's health care plan. Republicans really were not part of the process. They didn't engage. They weren't willing to negotiate and work out the problems of this. They pretty much from the beginning have been saying, we need to kill this plan, and didn't want to make it right.
Right. And that's Keith Ingram's hope out of this, is that one of the arguments for any state implementation of any part of the Affordable Care Act has been, well, let's not get too deep into the Affordable Care Act, because it's as far as we know, the court could get rid of this law soon, and we don't want to go down a road that might not be there in a few years. So Keith Ingram hopes this will add some more traction. But I also spoke to Eddie Joe Williams, a Republican senator out of Cabot, who's been in leadership roles for a number of years, at that meeting of the Arkansas Municipal League in Little Rock this week. And, he still thinks that the law might be gone soon.
I don't think it's the final nail in the coffin. I think there will be other litigation. I think there's some that still want to continue to push back. I think, obviously, there's some hoping that we have a change of administration. I'm sure if Hillary is elected, she'll continue the same laws and the same intent. I think it's important that if we want to make changes in Obamacare, for example, that we do it through a new administration.
But a key part of that Republican Party in Arkansas, which is at about two-thirds in each chamber, I think this more interesting quote maybe, there's been a bipartisan coalition that has implemented a whole slate of different areas of the Affordable Care Act, like the private option, which is Arkansas's state-level adaptation of a Medicaid expansion through the federal program. John Woods, Republican from Northwest Arkansas, he sees this ruling as something that shows the ACA may be here to stay and it might be time to work with it. And that could involve things like, let's go ahead and take as much control as we have and use a state exchange instead of a federal one.
It's been debated about for years and years and years. Do we do anything? Do we just say, well, you know, we didn't vote for this, we don't support it as a state, so do we just let the federal government run it, or do we just make the best of what we got? And so I think if there's something that we oppose, you know, we all oppose the health care plan. The majority of Arkansans oppose the mandate of the health care program. But, you know, it's you have to make that decision. Do you make the best of it, or do you just, you know, let the federal government do it? And so I think us trying to tackle it as a state is in our best interest.
Yeah, and Republican lawmakers, though, up and down the board, from Congress to the governor's office to the state house, they thought it was a bad decision, some varying degrees about how Arkansas should move forward, though.
And we have the private option still in effect, at least through the end of next year, despite incredible opposition to continuing the private option, which was a compromise expansion worked out led by Republicans in 2013, working with Governor Beebe. Despite the incredible opposition to it this year in the legislature, Governor Asa Hutchinson said, let's take our time, look at alternatives, and we have this task force that he has appointed that is considering other options to the private option. And this doesn't directly affect the private option so much.
Yeah, not too directly. The fact that there are those 70,000 or so people in the marketplace, their presence alone, because there's more people purchasing insurance, does bring down everybody else's price, including that 250,000-odd people that get insurance through a Medicaid expansion through the private option.
Jacob, I wonder about the role of hospitals lobbying for these issues. I understand that hospitals actually gained quite a bit financially by having bills no longer unpaid that had been before, that was a significant boon in the first year of the Affordable Care Act. Is that a voice in this whole debate?
I'd say that's a little bit separate, more on the private option battle, because their issue was, even though if people are uninsured, that means hospitals simply have an uncompensated care bill that goes up, and somebody has to pay for that in some way, and oftentimes that might be passed off to other consumers who do have insurance. So, but Chris spoke with the Arkansas Hospital Association, I believe, about the King versus Burwell decision and how that affects people on the state marketplace. And people on the state marketplace make more than the private option. They make 140% to 400% of the poverty level, but they can't get insurance through their jobs, so they get subsidies.
Yeah, right. I spoke with Paul Cunningham, the executive vice president of the Arkansas Hospitals Association. And that association actually did a study earlier last year about that uncompensated care issue, finding that on average the private option has decreased uncompensated care costs. But aside from that, reacting to this most recent Supreme Court decision, here's what Cunningham had to say.
Just the fact of a patient coming into a hospital or going to see a physician, for that matter, who has insurance, I think it certainly relieves the stress on the patient, knowing that they do have a source of payment, and it also helps the hospital. You know, we're currently conducting a survey of our members to sort of assess the impact of the private option, which is, the same exchange plans for that population, which is the under 138% of the federal poverty level, as the plans that are accessed by people who receive the federal subsidies up to 400% of the federal poverty level.
And you can see he mentions the private option and these marketplace plans have some kind of symbiotic relationship in that they affect the pricing of each, and that the private option plans, because they're paid for with federal funds and there are 250,000 people on them, they bring down the costs of those private plans that all the middle income people have to buy through the marketplace. Now, we did talk about some local legislative reaction to this case, and I kind of culled a few different statements from some of our congressional delegation and others on more of the national scene. Of Second District Congressman Republican French Hill called the Supreme Court ruling disappointing, and he will continue to work with his colleagues in the House and Senate to pass, quote, real patient-centered health care reform that is both affordable and consumer-friendly. Arkansas's U.S. Junior Senator Tom Cotton said, the government must follow the law as it's written, which is why I believe the court wrongly decided to approve President Obama's unlawful implementation of Obamacare. And a lot of the statements go along this line of interpreting a certain provision of the law saying that states must set up their own exchanges as being the kind of fulcrum in which the decision should have been made, and that the court should have followed the language of that provision.
It is just another interesting example this week of a lot of people, particularly in the South, that don't like a directive that's coming from the federal government or from the U.S. Supreme Court, whether it be health care, whether it be gay marriage. These are issues that are maybe settled in the court in one way, but they're certainly not done in the narrative of political discussion.
Given that Arkansas already had a plan for a possible state-based exchange, does this fundamentally change much for the state?
It changes some, I guess, for some representatives. I imagine the reason as of late has been, we need to get the state-based exchange ready just in case we only can give subsidies through the state exchange. And so that would be a way to keep money flowing to that 68,000 or 66,000 people to get some sort of assistance. But in general, when they first approved this move back in 2013 to try to shift towards a launch of a state-based exchange in 2017, the reasons weren't about King versus Burwell. The reasons were simply, we would prefer to have as much state-level control as we can, since we fundamentally reject the federal government telling us anything about this healthcare law. So it's just, and that's the same deal with the private option. We don't like Medicaid expansion, but since it's here, maybe we can modify it to Arkansas standards and to what we think would maybe be a little bit easier to digest.
Well, always fascinating when you get these kind of landmark Supreme Court rulings. It was quite a week, and one that legal scholars will be looking back at. I've heard in particular the gay marriage ruling was on par with Brown versus Board of Education from 1954. So very fascinating to see. You've been listening to KUAR's Week in Review podcast. I'm Michael Hiplin, joined by Sarah Weitz-Kotecheck, Chris Hickey, and Jacob Kaufman. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks.
Thank you.
If you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, you can do so at iTunes. We'll be here each week bringing you the top local news in Arkansas, reacting and bringing you the sound of those stories. Our theme music is by Chris Hickey. KUAR is an editorially independent service of the University of Arkansas at Little Rock, and we're supported by listeners like you. You can find us online at kuar.org. You can also offer us your feedback, comments, reaction at news@kuar.org. Thanks for listening.